Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm glad you joined me today. My guest is Morgan Tyree of Morganize With Me. I love your title and welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
And Morgan joins us today from Colorado, and on her website she describes herself as a professional organizer, chaos calmer, writer, truth teller, generally energetic and motivated, but also very realistic. I think that you and I will get along just fine.
Good.
You said your life tends to be full and fun and somewhat messy, and I think all of us can relate to that. We all have messiness in our lives, whether it's our homes or relationships or work or even in our churches we have messiness. And so I love what you said about I believe in prioritizing and measuring progress one day at a time while also keeping it simple, because I think those truly are the keys to remaining sane amidst the chaos.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I agree.
So what's it like to be a professional organizer? I just have never dealt with someone who was a professional organizer. What all does that entail?
Well, you know, it really is very specific to each person that you work with, because I kind of equate it in some ways. I mean, it's almost like you're counseling people in a sense. I mean, obviously not in the true counselor sense, but you're helping people to really look at their life and whatever area you're focusing on, and really looking at, you know, what's not working, what is working. And I also really try to work with people as individuals and take into account their personality and their lifestyle. It's not, you know, I think sometimes we think of organizing as a kind of one size fits all, when really I think it needs to be very specific to the person. So I think it's very relational, and it can be an emotional process, but hopefully what I try and do is just give people encouragement and hope, and help them to find things that they can really maintain for the long term, you know, not just quick fixes. So that's kind of in a nutshell.
That is so important, because I think when you're unorganized, life does feel out of control. I know yesterday my son's girlfriend was here, and she said, I have to go home and get my life organized. And I said, I get that. I have to spend some time every day organizing, or I just feel like everything's out of control. And when I feel out of control, sometimes I just want to quit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think you have to regroup like all the time to kind of stay focused on what you need to get done, and you know, create that margin in your life too for that planning and intentionality.
And so does this apply to like organizing your closets, or organizing your paperwork, or organizing your time, or all of the above?
Well, all of the above. I really prefer to help people in their homes, just because I think that's my wheelhouse, being, you know, I currently still have kids at home, and so I do a lot of home management. I mean, I think everyone does home management, but I'm in the throes of it in a lot of ways, so that's really my specialty. But, you know, I also have a fitness background, so I like to think of it as kind of a health and home holistic approach, you know, so that people can really you know, just enjoy their lives more and really be able to focus on what they need to be focusing on, versus I think we can get in that tendency where we're spinning our wheels, you know, and not accomplishing things or wasting time. And I just like to help people to move past that as best they can. So,
and I think that leads to success in every area of your life. My daughter always says discipline breeds discipline. So if you're disciplined in being organized, you're more likely to be disciplined in fitness, and you're more likely to be disciplined in having your quiet time with the Lord every day.
Exactly. Yes, for sure.
So I think this is just real valuable what you're doing. Well, I don't know the story, but I do want to hear the story about how you wound up and why you were in Europe.
Oh, that's a good story. Well, I think it is. So my husband, this was about now probably 5+ years ago, he wanted to put in for a assignment overseas, and my response was that I would rather travel to somewhere before moving there, because we've moved a bit over our marriage, so over the course of our marriage, so I'm not opposed to adventure, but that seems like such a permanent adventure, because the assignment would mean moving to wherever we were assigned and then not knowing where we would move next. So there was like, you know, a double risk factor, I guess. But I really, regardless of my, I guess, hesitation, I wanted to support him because it was a dream of his. So it took over a year until he finally got an assignment. And then we were assigned to Lisbon, Portugal, and we moved there in 2013. We were there for 3.5 years. So it was just, kind of a surprise because it took us a year to finally get the assignment. So I kept thinking, well, God doesn't really want this because it's not coming together. And then, like, at the last moment, it did. So I think God opened the door, and, you know, it was definitely a test of faith for sure. So.
I'm sure.
That's how we got over there.
Did you have any language skills or?
Well, I studied French and Spanish in like high school and college, but I'm not a natural language person. And my husband had, I think, 5 months of Portuguese training. So he is basically fluent, or was fluent when we went over there. But I did not have any training. And then once we were there, I just kind of muddled through. I was in a very expat English-speaking community, so the necessity wasn't very strong. But I do understand a lot of Portuguese. It's a very difficult language, but I can follow a basic conversation, but I can't add a lot to it, even after living there.
So I'm sure that was a big culture shock.
Yeah, it's we were in Southern Europe, so it's a very We were in a beach town, so it was very kind of the land of manana, very relaxed. You know, dinners were hours. It was definitely a culture shock. And then I think that what I tell people, because I think when people hear, they think, oh, it's so romantic and so fun. And, you know, it is to vacation, I think, somewhere. It's really fun and relaxing. But to live somewhere long-term as a foreigner, there's a lot of, you know, pluses and a lot of minuses, because it was stressful at times, you know, dealing with things like going to the orthodontist or, you know, dealing with like a traffic ticket, just things that in your country of origin, you don't have to think twice about doing, but they just took longer there with the language barrier. So, it was definitely a culture shock, but I think we all, as a family, we grew a ton just by the exposure, for sure.
That's so cool. And what about the community of faith there? Did you have a network of support?
Yeah, I mean, it was really cool. We found a church. There was an international church, and we became actually very, very involved in it. It was truly an international church. So many nationalities were represented. We loved our pastor and his wife. They became friends of ours. So that was a really great opportunity. And then we also, my husband and I have a big history with Young Life, and they, surprisingly enough, had a really good youth, a Young Life program there. So both my teenagers were both involved with that as well. So yeah, it was actually a neat surprise to find that community fairly easily and get plugged in.
That's really cool. It's neat how God opens doors and paves the way before we ever go, and things you never dream, little details like that, that are important to you, that he takes care of.
He definitely did. Yeah. I think it was you know, we grew in our faith in so many ways, but without that community, it would have been, you know, a lot harder. So I'm very thankful for God's, you know, provision in that sense.
Because we really do need each other. You cannot serve the Lord and be in isolation. I think we need accountability. We need encouragement. You know, we need people to carry our burdens with us. That is so important.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
So was it harder moving there, or was it harder moving back home?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, honestly, the move over there wasn't very challenging because our housing and so many things were just kind of pre-assigned. So we didn't have a lot of logistics. I mean, of course there were logistics, but it wasn't as daunting because we had with my husband's employer, we had a lot of things taken care of. Our move back to the States has been the most challenging because we didn't get relocated back to home, which was Oregon. We got relocated to Colorado. So we had a home in Oregon. We had to, you know, we just had from a year ago to now, it's just been, you know, just a big chain of logistics, I guess. And like in Liz or in Portugal, my kids were all in the same school. Here they're in three different schools. So I've just had, we've had a lot more logistical things to handle coming back than we did going over. But it's been doable, and we're definitely through the storm at this point. So I'm feeling more settled.
Well, I think the interesting thing about that is when you're in the middle of the storm, all those little details, those tiny little details, like where your kids are going to go to school and about your house and all that kind of stuff, they seem so monumental and they seem so important. And you think, oh my goodness, this is just overwhelming me. And then once it's all settled and done and you can move on, and maybe you're a year or 6 months or even 5 years down the road and you look back and it all came together, and none of it seems so monumental anymore.
That's so true. Yeah, it's definitely true. I love looking back. I mean, the perspective is always, you gain a new perspective, and I also feel like I can see God's hand in the details, you know, because there's things where you step out in faith, there's some things where you feel very confident, you know, and it's neat to see how God really pulls the pieces together, you know, in his time.
Yes, and that reminds me of the verse that says that those who wait on the Lord will mount up on wings with eagles. And I always think the thing that's most interesting about an eagle is, you know, they have such visual acuity, and it's their perspective that they can see from far, far away the whole picture. And we only get to see this little slice. And I think that fits in so perfectly with your organizational skills, that we have to trust God in the moment by moment in the little things when we can't see the big picture. Okay. And that just fits perfectly into the organization, because with organization, you do one little thing at a time.
Yeah. And that's really one of my biggest tips is to tell people. I have a really good friend. She has this quote, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And she says, you just need to close the circle. Because a lot of times we open up all these circles of things, and it can be something as simple as starting the laundry or the dishwasher, or, you know, just a small task. But if we don't finish that one task, all of a sudden we, you know, can look around and have 10 open circles, you know. And I think the more we just do one thing at a time and keep focused on that, we'll have less of that overwhelming feeling, you know. So I love that perspective.
That gives me an incredible sense of peace, because I am the extreme of that. Now, I'm like I like to get more done in a day than most people want to get done in a week. But I am the extreme of that. I cannot start something until I'm finished with what I'm working on. And right now I have, like, this month I've had 5 speaking engagements. And I had one yesterday, and I have one Friday. I haven't even started working on Fridays because I had to get through yesterday before I could switch gears and think about Friday. And I'm, like I said, I'm the extreme version of that. I always feel like I'm like Scarlett, you know, in Gone with the Wind. She says, I'll think about that tomorrow, because if I try to think about everything I have to do, I get overwhelmed. So I just think about, what do I have to do right now?
But I think that's a really good life skill, because, I mean, I think compartmentalizing in that way allows you to really focus on what's in front of you, and then, you know, you can give your best to that, and then you can close it and move to the next. I think there's a real asset in doing that, you know, because you're really focusing on that one thing and doing it well, hopefully.
Well, I appreciate that affirmation, because I've always said I was a big compartmentalizer. When I was at work, you know, if somebody called me from about personal, I don't have time to talk to you. But if I was at home, I didn't want to be bothered by work. And so, you know, that was always a thing that I did, was truly compartmentalize. And I have told people before that they need to learn to do that. So I appreciate that affirmation.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you always want to have balance too. You don't want to be too rigid, but I think that is probably what allows you to be productive and get what you're getting done and doing it well, you know. So I think, hats off. Yay.
Well, and overwhelmed is just a common term that I hear from people. I think that's a common burden that people feel. They feel like they just have too much on their plate. And I'm just thinking of 2 Timothy 1:7. And in the New Living Translation, it reads, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." And so we have to do the work to get disciplined and to get organized.
Right. Yeah, I like the last word, self-discipline. That is, I think that's the key, you know. And it's often we bring things into our lives that add to our stress, you know, by not saying no or taking on too much. And I think that's all falls under self-discipline, about knowing our limits and our capacities.
That's great. Is there any other advice that you would give someone who maybe doesn't have the ability to hire a professional organizer, but they feel like things in their life are just totally out of control? Is there a stepwise program that you recommend, or just one nugget of advice that you would give those people?
Yeah, I would say my biggest piece of advice is, most often why we struggle with organizing is because we have too much stuff. And I mean, stuff can be commitments, it can be actual material items, it can be distractions, you know. So I think that what I would encourage, if I had, you know, just for one piece of advice, is that you look at what, you know, kind of what are the biggest challenges, you know, whether it's my kitchen, I can't, you know, I can't cook dinner, it's too unorganized, or my schedule's too full. Look at where there's too much stuff that's causing that, you know, a disconnect of your productivity, and then really being objective in clearing out that stuff. And often, you know, a good friend, you know, if you can find a friend that can really speak truth into your life, that might come over and help you with your kitchen or help you look at your calendar, I think that accountability can really help us sometimes to see things we don't see for ourselves. So I think, you know, people don't need to go out and buy more totes and bins or hangers or whatever it might be. It's really often just trying to get rid of things we're not using.
That's interesting, because we'd rather go buy more things to help with the more things that we have.
Well, I think it's, especially right now being January, you know, I noticed, like, even in Target, you can tell they have like a whole area of just bins now and that, this and that. And of course, those things can be great tools, but I think we have to ask ourselves, why am I storing all of this? Or, you know, because everything we own in our lives or decisions we make, it all has an impact in one way or another on our time and energy. So I think that, you know, and going back to closing the circle, if someone wants to organize better their life, just to do one, I really think that Dave Ramsey always has that analogy of like just doing one small thing and start small and then try to go bigger and bigger, because as you have small accomplishments, you'll kind of, your motivation will increase. So I say the same thing with organizing, you know, tackle one small drawer at a time. You don't have to sit there and, you know, I'm going to do my entire house in a week, because that, you know, we all will get distracted and that can be very overwhelming, like you said, overwhelming. So I think small steps and really getting rid of excess are the two biggest things people can do.
I love the getting rid of excess, because we are definitely a culture of excess. I have a friend who decided last year in January that she was going to own one of everything. So if she had two brooms, she gave one away. If she had two whisks in her drawer, I mean, why do we need two whisks, you know? And so often we do have duplicates of those things that we're never going to use two at once.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we often don't think through why we have all that we have. You know, we just kind of keep accumulating and we don't ask why.
Yes.
And that's an important question. Yeah. Well, I like that, only one of each thing. That's a good rule.
Yeah, I like that too. Well, tell me about, you had an issue as far as your marriage has really grown. Is it in the last year or?
Well, we have been married, we just celebrated 20 years, and, you know, I would say that we, you know, we had probably the first decade, I guess, of, you know, relatively smooth sailing. As far as, I think my husband and I have a really good friendship core. You know, we do share the same faith. We shared values. But what I realized, actually, it really kind of came to my attention when we moved overseas, was that, I think it was a combination of factors, but when we had our first child, I transitioned from working full time to basically staying home, except for working in fitness, which was very part time. And so I think that with that shift, you know, while it was an agreed upon decision, I think over the course of time there was some resentment that kind of was built in, because, well, I shouldn't say resentment, but what happened was, I think my husband had the full responsibility of being the, you know, as the person making the money. And I think with that, he kind of took advantage of being more in control in the relationship. And I think we became less of a team and more of a, like, kind of what he said goes. And it really was a 50-50%, you know, problem, because I also was giving in and being much more of a peacemaker, more out of, like, fear than you know, for the right reasons. Am I explaining it well? It's obviously very layered. Does that make any sense when I'm sharing?
Absolutely. It's always very, very layered. And I think probably being overseas and being pulled out of your normal culture and environment possibly brings out the extremes in your relationship?
Absolutely. And, you know, that's exactly what happened. I think that I had a relatively full life before we moved overseas. I was, you know, working part-time, homeschooling the kids. Like, my life was very full. And I think when your life is full, the problem with that is I think sometimes you don't deal with the hard stuff because you're just kind of, I mean, I wasn't stressed or overly busy, but I had enough things filling me that I could kind of deal with the, like, negative things and not really treat them as critical as they were. So when we moved overseas, my life completely changed, like went upside down as far as my, I really didn't have much of a life when we moved there, which we didn't really know that would be the case. And by that, I mean, I couldn't work. It was really hard to volunteer. I mean, it was like one obstacle after another. It was a very trying time for me. And the kids were all in school full time, so I had all this time. And so that was when I think God really helped me to see what things I needed to do, you know, what I needed to work on myself to kind of reclaim my voice, and also challenge my husband to really work through some things that he had really been pushing down for years, just kind of things from his childhood. And so as much as hard as it was, I think that, you know, was really one of probably the biggest reasons we did end up getting an overseas assignment was I think we need to kind of be removed from our everyday grind to really see what needed to be worked on in our marriage, because things were a lot worse than I think either one of us realized. So,
and was that just a personal journey? Was that just something the Lord taught you through quiet time and prayer and Bible study?
It was a combination of things. I spent a lot. I think I spent a lot more time with the Lord initially when we were over there because I just had so much free time. And I remember really just crying out to the Lord, kind of like, why me? Because my life has, I mean, we all have problems, but I haven't had a lot of big ones, you know, and it felt like, okay, this is big. This is what I kind of had a new appreciation for things other people have gone through. So it was really the Lord's revelation. I had two different girlfriends that really walked through things with me. I sought out some counselors. So it really was a combination of things and different people and accountability. So a combination.
And that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. That is so important. It's so important, I think, that we get outside counsel and outside advice and that we have someone to walk through life with us. I think that is so crucial. And it kind of goes back to the organizational thing, really, about making priorities and getting rid of the clutter and all of that.
Yeah.
Well, before we finish, I just want you to tell us about your blog and where everyone can find you on social media.
Well, great. Yeah, and so my blog, I started my blog, this is kind of funny. I started it in 2012, right before we moved overseas, because my husband's like, you should start a blog. And I'm like, what's a blog? And then I just like started dabbling in it. So it was interesting how I fully just kind of did it on a whim. And then it really became something that kind of gave me a real purpose overseas. And so in some ways, it started out more as a lifestyle blog, and I've kind of now, you know, moved it more towards just organizing. And it's been really fun to just kind of get to know other writers, the readership that I have, and just building a community. My biggest goal is just to encourage people wherever they're at, and I hope readers can, you know, just feel encouraged and inspired. And I really like to focus on just having the mentality of making things work for you. In other words, like, I don't want them to come onto my site and go, oh, well, I have to do it like she does. You know, I just try to give examples, but I really want to help people just to embrace where they're at and, you know, kind of what things they want to work on and not just really get out of that competition, out of that rat race of, you know, I think women can be pretty hard on themselves. And I just want to hopefully be the opposite of that and help them see that they can be more organized if they want. And it just is, you know, it just takes simple, small steps.
And I know you incorporate the principles of your faith into your blog, but do you specifically write about your faith?
You know, I wouldn't say that's been a primary focus, just because I think when I started it, it was more organizing and lifestyle, and it's really morphed into just organizing. But I've never hidden my faith. I definitely share about it here and there. I like to give away books that I've, you know, read that have inspired me. So, and I definitely know, I've also done consulting over online, and I would do either organizing or fitness stuff. And And interestingly enough, several of the people I've worked with have been Christians. So I do think that it definitely is evident. You know, I definitely don't ever want to shy away from that, but it isn't like that's my primary focus on the blog.
Well, and the great thing about that is sometimes you build your platform with people who come to the site for true help with organization, but then, like I said, discipline breeds discipline. And so when you can learn to be organized in one part of your life, I think it does spill over into your spiritual walk.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting? I'm involved with a larger group of organizing bloggers, and I would say a lot of them, the majority, are believers. So that's been really neat to see, just that there's a common thread there.
That is neat. And what about social media? Where do we find you there?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I have a Facebook page. It's all on my blog. So I have a Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. Those are my three main. Oh, and I'm on Pinterest, too.
You have to be on Pinterest. If you're an organizer, you have to be on Pinterest.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, how can you not be on Pinterest?
Right.
But I do tell people, don't. You know, I hear people go, it's so discouraging to get on Pinterest. But I think I would say, I encourage people, go on Pinterest for something specific. You know what I mean? Don't go on there. I mean, not that you can't browse, but if you go on there and start browsing and you get all these ideas and it gets overwhelming, what have you done for yourself? But if you go on there, you know, for example, I'm decorating my new house right now. So I'll go on there and look specifically for like living room ideas or, you know, just I have a specific focus versus like I think all these things I'm not doing. And I think that's a good rule of thumb.
Well, and that comparison thing can certainly do a lot to discourage us, I think.
Yeah.
So I love that the name of your blog is Morganize, and I mean, that just fits so perfectly because it's more organized if you run it together like we tend to do in the South.
I've had some people ask me what, and I thought, oh gosh, they don't understand, but you know, I hope it's fairly implied.
It is fairly implied. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to browse through your website and see if I can get some tips because, you know, it is January and we all want to get a little more organized. So thank you so much, Morgan, for being with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Vicki. It was nice to get to know you.
You too.